On his last evening in the city, Muhammad enjoyed another family reunion when his uncle Abbas, who still adhered to the old religion, was allowed to enter the city to visit his nephew and offer him the hand of his sister, Maimuna, who had recently been widowed. Muhammad accepted, doubtless hoping to entice Abbas himself into Islam, and mischievously sent word to the Quraysh to invite them to the wedding. This was pushing things too far, and Suhail came down to inform Muhammad that his 3 days were up and he should leave immediately. Sa'd ibn Ubadah, a chief of Khazraj who was with the Prophet at the time, was furious at this apparent discourtesy, but Muhammad quickly silenced him. O Sa'd, no ill words to those who have come to visit us in our camp. To the astonishment of the Quraysh, the entire pilgrim throng left the city that night in good order. There were no loud protests, no attempt to repossess their old homes. In their peaceful withdrawal, the Muslims showed the confidence of those who expected a speedy return. The story of this strange pilgrimage spread rapidly, and more of the Bedouin came to Medina to become Muhammad's confederates. Of even greater significance was the steady stream of the younger generation of the Quraysh who converted to Islam. At Hudaybiyah, Muhammad had promised to return new converts to Mecca, but he had been able to find a loophole that enabled him to overcome this condition on a technicality. First, the treaty had said nothing about the handing back of women converts, so shortly after Hudaybiyah, Muhammad had received Uthman's half-sister into the Ummah and allowed her to remain. He did, however, return Abu Basir, an impetuous young man, and dispatched him to Mecca with a Quraysh envoy. But during the journey, Abu Basir killed his escort, and when Muhammad sent him away again, set up camp on the Red Sea coast near the trade route, where he was joined by 70 other young Meccan malcontents. These would-be Muslims became highwaymen, attacking every single Meccan caravan that came within their range, and the Quraysh discovered that the economic blockade had been partially reinstated. Eventually, they were forced to beg Muhammad to admit the young men into Medina and to make them abide by the treaty. So the ban on accepting converts became a dead letter, and in 629, a steady stream of new Muslims arrived in Medina. They included the young warriors Amr ibn al-As and Khalid ibn al-Walid, who had been convinced by Muhammad's success. "The way has become clear," Khalid said. "The man is certainly a prophet." He was afraid of reprisals, since he and Amra had both killed many Muslims at the battles of Uhud and the Trench. But Muhammad assured them that the act of Islam wiped out old debts and represented an entirely new start. In this year of political triumph, Muhammad had a private joy. None of the women he had married in Medina had borne him any children. But the governor of Alexandria in Egypt had sent him a beautiful curly-haired slave girl as a gift. Mariam was a Christian and did not wish to convert to Islam, but she became Muhammad's saraya, a wife who retained the status of a slave, but whose children would be free.